This is Speaking of Writers. I'm Steve Richards. The book is the Association of Ringside Physicians Manual of Combat Sports Medicine. And the author is Dr. Gerard Varlata. The medical coverage of MMA and boxing requires unique knowledge and medical skills, and thus the need for a comprehensive manual for competent care of the combat sports athlete. This manual is a comprehensive accumulation of the knowledge and experience of physicians who have shared their expertise on a variety of topics relevant to the health and safety of the combat sports participants. Dr. Gerard Varlata is a graduate of Colgate University and New York College of Osteopathic Medicine. He is a fellow of the American Academy of Sports Medicine and the American Academy of Pain Medicine. He's board certified in physical medicine and rehab and pain medicine, and a diplomat of the American Academy of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation. Also a board member of the Association of Ringside Physicians and an ARP certified ringside physician as well. He served as head team physician for a number of roller hockey and hockey teams and arena football team too. Happy to have Gerard Varlata on the program. Welcome.
Thank you, Steve.
So what made you decide to put together this manual?
Well, I've been in the boxing world and working as a ringside physician for 30 years. And I've come in contact with a number of different physicians, different people that come from different backgrounds, and everybody had a different perspective on the athlete. In dealing with just the medical physicians, it was very interesting because everybody had their own training. Everybody had their own ability to look at the fighter in a particular way, but nobody had the same basis of education. So my thoughts were, and for many years, I ran educational programs, and both for boxing, for spine problems, for sports injuries, and other types of medical issues for NYU. And I ran a rehabilitation network where we brought everybody together to share ideas. And I said, well, this is really needed in boxing. There's no one place that people can go for boxing and MMA to learn what they need to learn about how to care for a very specialized athlete, somebody who's involved in an aerobic sport, an anaerobic sport, and also a very dangerous sport, to where there's head injuries and certainly in MMA, a lot of other types of injuries, orthopedic injuries especially. So it really was interacting with a lot of people and getting support from another number of people who are in the boxing world. Some are still with us and some have passed, but the main person was Harold Letterman, who was an announcer for HBO. And he became a very, very close friend, and he was very supportive of the ringside physician. I would spend hours with him discussing safety in boxing and MMA, and talk about the different pluses and minuses of each fighter before they went out. So I would always seek him out at a fight and just to get information so I would understand how to best protect the fighter. Because as my job as a ringside physician is to protect the fighter in spite of himself, in spite of the corner, and in spite of the crowd and his desire to continue.
We're going to talk about some of the injuries here in a moment. MMA, why do you think it's gotten so popular over the years?
Well, it's gotten popular because it's a very skilled sport. It's a very specialized sport. And it's an elite combat sport. And there's a lot of strategy. There's a lot of physics that goes into the sport. And I think that it took on a role of the newer wave of combat sports. So you're getting basically, a lot of different, components. You can have a grappling component of wrestling. You can have a boxing component. So the multifocal way that fighters are participating, and it's also a quicker sport. It's a faster sport for injuries. So I think It led towards the younger generation wanting to have more excitement in a shorter period of time. So the way the fights are designed, it's a shorter round, it's a shorter bout. The injuries happen faster than they do in boxing. I think it's the newer wave of combat sports.
We're chatting with Dr. Gerard Varlata. His book out now, Association of Ringside Physicians Manual of Combat Sports Medicine, available at writersrepublic.com, also amazon.com and barnesandnoble.com as well. So let's talk about some of the injuries, neurological injuries related to combat sports. What are some of those injuries that you've seen?
Well, we've seen in ringside everything from, catastrophic injuries all the way down to, those fighters that come back and back and are essentially taking many, many blows for many years, developing cognitive problems and other types of problems over the years of sustaining impact and head injuries. So during a fight, you have to be very sensitive to the number of blows and the degree of the blow that a fighter is getting. So looking at how many power punches, how many jabs they received, and kind of quantitating in your own mind, what is going on in the brain? Can he still function during the fight? So you have to be very attentive to observing the fight. And you're not just there as a spectator, you're there to protect the fighter. So if it's clearly a one-sided fight, you need to take steps to make sure that the fighter who's receiving the majority of the blows is protected. And you also need to understand what 10 and 12 rounds might do over time. So you really need to be on top of your understanding of subtle neurological impact. So it might be as subtle as they get confused as to which corner to go to, and that they may get confused and not remember to sit down when the stool is under them. So you have to be very sensitive to the little things. How's their balance? How's their reaction? In order to pick up some of the subtle injuries that happen during a fight, the big knockdown. Anybody can understand that. Again, a catastrophic situation. And unfortunately, I've been involved in a number that have had catastrophic injuries. And there's a number of people that develop injuries long term. So you need to understand all the fights that they've been involved in, how many rounds they've went, how many potential punches they've received prior to the event that you're covering. So the neurological impact comes in a variety of different ways. It can be cognitive impairment. It can be emotional impairment. It could be mimicking ADHD. So there's unfortunately no good way of us doing a blood test or something to say, oh, you have a neurological injury and you need to stop. So there's some subtle things that we could pick up on exam and on testing. There are a lot of behavioral things that slip by. In fighters.
How is the testing improved?
Well, I mean, obviously the dramatic testing that was improved was having the ability to look at MRIs. So prior to that, we were just doing CAT scans. Mm. We know that we have to get a baseline on every fighter, and we know we have to get periodic updates to our ability to understand. There's also neuropsychological testing that's evolved. That neuropsychological testing is something that can pick up how the brain is functioning as opposed to how it looks structurally.
Ophthalmological injuries related to combat sports.
Well, they say that the eye is the window to the brain. Mm. So if there's a lot of injuries that are sustained to the eye, then you can assume that there's a lot of impact that has happened to the brain. So that's number one. Number two, there are direct eye injuries. There are many fighters that attempt to fight where they're legally blind. So we need to, constantly be aware of the injuries and the impact to the eye. So when you see a very, very swollen eye that's closed shut, that there has to be some sort of ophthalmologic injury, whether it's retinal, corneal, lends, something that that is involved. So annual eye examinations are necessary. So all the protocols can be found on the Athletic Commission websites for, following fighters ophthalmologically. They need to have full eye exams with a dilated eye. So that needs to be pre-planned. So you can't just show up at a fight and not have an ophthalmological exam. That needs to be done in order to ensure that there's full safety of the fighters.
How about orthopedic injuries related to combat sports?
Yeah, the orthopedic injuries are more prevalent in MMA than they are in boxing. And we obviously see hand injuries, shoulder injuries. I've seen ankle sprains and fractures. I've seen dislocated knees. I've seen patellar dislocations in the ring that I've had to reduce at, big arenas. So there's a variety of different injuries that you need to be aware of and know how to treat them acutely and know when a fight needs to be stopped for a particular orthopedic injury. Because the gloves are on, it's very difficult at times to know whether there's a hand injury, for example. But by watching the fighter, you can see, is he protecting a hand? Is he no longer throwing the right hand? Is he trying to cover up with his body and not allow his shoulder to be impacted? Is he taking the same direction of the punches? So you only get that by either understanding and having some instruction, but you also get that by experience, and having the knowledge leads to the experience. So you don't know what you don't see, and you don't see what you don't know.
Speaking of instruction and training and education, how is the training and education for younger physicians coming up now, what you're seeing?
Oh, it's much better. With the Association of Ringside Physicians, we have instructional sessions that are online. We have emergency situation training. And we also have annual conferences where we all get together and share things. We have one that was started by at our Association of Ringside Physicians meeting. We have a segment called The Fight Must Go On. That's one where we discuss, when to stop a fight, when we can allow it to continue. So constantly being exposed to other people's ideas and other people's interests and other people's view of fights. So again, that's really what got the book started, was everybody looked at things differently. So we needed to have some sort of basis in order to start our training, in order for them to then be able to build on that from an experience standpoint.
How is the regulation of combat sports today?
Well, there is quite a bit of regulation in the combat sports. You have amateurs that are regulated by the amateur organizations. You then have the professionals, which are regulated by the state commissions. The only thing missing is a national organization and an international organization, so everybody can be on the same page. And that's some of what the Association of Ringside Physicians is doing, and also the Association of Boxing Commissions. So the Association of Boxing Commissions, led by Dr. Michael Schwartz and Mike Mazzulli, are trying to get unified rules, trying to get unified approach to the commissions being able to function and coordinate care by boxing recs and the development of the boxing recs. We can look up people's fights. We're in the process of putting together a medical record program, so we can start to keep unified medical records for the fighters. So again, the Association of Ringside Physicians and also the Association of Boxing Commissions work with each individual state, work with the tribal nations in the education process and understanding how to organize fights, how to make them as safe as we can for the participants of the fights.
What about some of the medical issues related to combat sports, like nutrition, weight loss, hydration?
Yeah, that's all very critical. Nutritional status is somebody weight cutting improperly? Are they at risk because they've gone through a dehydration to make weight? Does that cause shrinkage in the brain of the fluid and the covering of the brain if they weight cut too much too quick? So we need to be aware of what the normal fight weight is for a particular fighter. We need to understand what they came in weighing and what they fought at previously. So if somebody is going up or down two weight classes, that's a significant problem. So we need to be understanding what made them gain weight, what made them lose weight. So building in the commission's understanding that the contracts need to be drawn up a certain way is very protective for the fighters.
So when you were at Colgate, what, in the late 70s, is this a field you always wanted to get into?
No, I actually got into the field through ice hockey. So my defensive partner, growing up in Long Island, when I was playing ice hockey, was a guy whose name is Nick Fetiu. And
Sure.
Nick was New York State Golden Gloves champ. And he said, "Hey, come over here." He called me Rusty. That's my nickname. He goes, "Hey, Rusty, come over here. I got to teach you how to fight." And because that's a component of hockey. And he took me into the gym and he showed me some things and taught me little components of fighting. And then one day he kind of hit me in the head and I saw stars. And I said, "Oh my God, this is not for me. I'm not, so that I'm not into the fight game." And so I was starting to work more on my hockey skills than my fighting skills. And Nick played for the Rangers. He was, a phenomenal
Yeah.
hockey player. He was an enforcer, and he was the first onset to boxing. I was able to go to a fight and cherished going to that fight with my father and some other of his friends back at Madison Square Garden, and the crowd was just amazing. So how I got into all of this was I was working for the New York Islanders, and one of the doctors said that was one of the other consultants said, "Oh, by the way, they need somebody to start working fights. They're looking for some fight doctors." And I said, "Well, I'm young. I can do that." So a guy named Charlie Malone is a preeminent hand surgeon in New York and was on the Athletic Commission Medical Advisory Board. And he was with another doctor named David Olchek, who's the New York Mets team physician at HSS. And they both supported me and got me started. And I worked with one of the best fight doctors around, Dr. Barry Jordan, who was the head of the New York State Athletic Commission's medical program for a long time. And he tutelaged me through the first set of fights. The first big fight I worked was Buddy McGirt against Pernell Whitaker a number of years ago in the 90s. And I've been working ever since then. So it's am I a fight fan? Not necessarily, but I'm a fan of protecting athletes.
Yeah, you mentioned New York and boxing. I think of the Golden Gloves and Madison Square Garden and let the fight doctor Pacheco, right?
Yes,
Back in
correct.
the day,
Yep, Ferdy Pacheco. Absolutely.
So,
So,
Dr. Varlata, what would you like readers to take away from this book?
well, I think anybody who has an interest in the fight game, whether it's MMA, boxing, needs to really understand what they're getting into. So, and what the potential risks are of being involved in any type of combat sport. So one is, this is certainly something that fighters should be educated on. Trainers should be educated. People that are the agents for these fighters need to understand so they can intervene. They have to have a stable of physicians that understand the fight game and understand injuries. Mostly it's for medical professionals to understand what to see and what to look for and how to handle themselves when they're being consulted to ask and give an opinion about a fighter. So having the basis of a knowledge that this book imparts is the first step, in my opinion.
He's Dr. Gerard Varlotta. The book is Association of Ringside Physicians Manual of Combat Sports Medicine, available at writersrepublic.com, also amazon.com and barnesandnoble.com. Dr. Varlotta, thank you for joining me.
Steve, thank you very much. I'm very happy to be on your show and continue all the good work. Thank you.
Thank you.